Thank you, Colin. Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath. I appreciate the opportunity today to be able to speak to you. You're not listening. Let me finish. That's not what I said. After I love you, these are among the most common refrains in close relationships. While you might think you'd be more likely to listen to a loved one than a stranger, in fact, the opposite is often true. According to this quote from Kate Murphy, the author of the book, You're Not Listening, What You're Missing and Why It Matters. We are to love one another, and proper, effective communication is motivated by love, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. And a way to show and practice that love and care for each other and for others is to interact well and communicate well with your families and with each other here. Turn with me to Colossians 4 and verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. Colossians 4, 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, that is, courteous and respectful, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. This phrase, seasoned with salt, I like the way the Life Application Bible comments on this. It says that what we say should be, quote unquote, tasty, and should make people thirst for more dialogue. Proverbs 16. Let's go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 23. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Turn over a couple of pages to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What does that mean? Those who love it will eat its fruit. I like the way the Moffat translates this part. It says, the talkative must take the consequences. Must take the consequences of what they say. And the Living Bible puts it rather bluntly. It says, those who love to talk will suffer the consequences. Men have died for saying the wrong thing. What we say and how we say it is very important because we communicate all the time, don't we? It's part of being human. But it's very important we communicate effectively. Jesus said we will be judged by our words, Matthew 12, 36. In the judgment, people will give an account for careless words. I like this quote from Nat Turner. He says, good communication is the bridge between confusion and clarity. And Mark Twain once said, the difference between the right word and almost the right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. You know, there are whole books written on effective communication, and the Bible has over 100 scriptures on how to talk and to listen to others. And many of these scriptures are in the book of Proverbs, but there are others as well. Today, I would like to review just four good habits of effective communication, and give a biblical basis for each. Okay, the first one is found in Proverbs 18 and verse 13. You're already there, hopefully. You didn't turn the page. We're in Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. So this is saying that We need to hear the whole thing. We need to get all of the facts before answering a matter or making a judgment. And there's other scriptures that talk about the same thing. What do you hear when you listen to the evening news on TV? Do you get the whole story? No, you're left with all kinds of questions, usually. I know I am. Because they give part of the story, they give maybe a slant, and that's all there is to it. And unfortunately, a lot of people make judgments about that, of what little they hear. Sometimes these news subjects go by so quickly, I don't even get what was said to begin with. Yet many form strong opinions and have something to say right away. We as Christians must take a different approach. Oftentimes, it is very difficult to get the whole matter or to hear the whole matter and get the whole story. So we have to refrain from expressing our own ideas or even having opinions about it altogether sometimes. Well, what about when we're talking to someone else? And we're in a conversation and we find we have a strong desire to express ourselves. I know I have sometimes. Do we allow the other person to finish what they are saying, and do we listen to them carefully before we jump in? Let's go to verse 17 here of Proverbs 18. Verse 17 says, "The one who is first in his own cause seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him out." So we have to be careful that we are not in a hurry or hasty to speak, as we sometimes really feel like we want to. We need to be careful with our words. As it says in James 1:19, we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's a challenge sometimes. It is for me. I found that when I answered too soon, and I've done this more than once, as you can probably guess, I found when I answered too soon and said too much before hearing the whole story, it was because I was in a hurry. So many times we're in a hurry. Today's pace of life is so rushed. It's like this all the time, it seems. And so it's easy to answer a matter before we hear the whole thing. I found that I needed to slow down and pause. And I need to be careful not to say too much. Proverbs 10, verse 19 and 20, it says, "Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues." And Proverbs 21, 23, "Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity." Okay, the second good habit of effective communication is related to the first. These two are pretty related. And this is the second habit. Help yourself and others avoid making wrong assumptions. When I'm teaching a math concept at school, I try to not assume anything. I don't assume that they know everything. If they're having trouble with a math concept, I try to go back and review concepts and see if they understand concepts that lead up to that particular math concept that they're having trouble with. And that helps the students so that we're starting on the same page. And I know what they do and don't understand. And I don't make a false assumption about the student's understanding. Communicating based on false assumptions can happen easily, and oh, it can be disastrous. Let's look at a biblical example of this. Okay, turn with me to 1 Samuel 1. 1 Samuel 1. I'm not going to read all of this, but this is concerning Elkanah, who was an Ephraimite, and he was going to the feast every year to worship. And he had two wives. One was Peninnah, and the other was Hannah. Peninnah had all kinds of children. And Hannah, it says here, Hannah was childless. She didn't have any children. And in that time, that was a very difficult thing. Verse 4, it says, "And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, which was Peninnah, also provoked her severely to make her miserable." Well, that's really poor communication with wrong motivation, isn't it? "Because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore," and we're talking about Hannah now, "therefore Hannah wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?' So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.'" So verse 12, "And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk." He made a wrong assumption, a very wrong assumption. "So Eli said to her, 'How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you.'" So Eli made a snap decision. He did not really hear the matter. And it resulted in disastrous communication. And so Hannah answered and said in verse 15, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Wouldn't it have been good had Eli gotten the whole story and had heard this before he said anything? You know, it's easy to misunderstand motives and actions. This can cause us to make assumptions about others that are not true. And we end up communicating the wrong thing. And we can have a wrong thought about somebody else. Also, we can help others from making incorrect assumptions by clarifying something. For example, you might say something like this. "I'm reminding both of us just to make sure we are still on the same page." Or you might say, "I'm telling you this so you don't wonder and think I'm ignoring you." This helps us avoid wrong assumptions and damaging misunderstandings. The third good habit of effective communication is found in Proverbs 21:28. Let's go to Proverbs 21:28. And I'd like to read from the NIV. I like this translation. It says, "A false witness will perish, but a careful listener will testify successfully." Another translation says that a man who listens carefully and repeats accurately speaks constantly. I'll read that again. The man who listens carefully and repeats accurately speaks constantly. In other words, his testimony will hold up and it will endure. So the third good habit of effective communication is to listen carefully and genuinely seek to understand the other person. This involves active listening and repeating what the person has said, not exactly in his words, but in your own words. You might say something like, "Now wait, let me be sure I am clear on what you are saying," and then repeat what you think he's trying to say in your own words. In Stephen Covey's book, and many of you are familiar with it, it's an older book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he talks about empathic listening. I'd like to quote from this book because he says it so well, I think. This is on page 239. He says, "Seek first to understand involves seeking first to understand involves a very deep shift in paradigm. We typically seek first to be understood, don't we? Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. They're either speaking or preparing to speak. They're filtering everything through their own paradigms, reading their own autobiography into other people's lives. Oh, I know exactly how you feel, you might say. Or I went through the very same thing. Let me tell you all about my experience." They're constantly projecting their own home movies onto other people's behavior. They prescribe their own glasses for everyone with whom they interact. So effective listening carefully and being genuinely interested in what the other person is saying is really critical. Let's go, I'd like to read a quote from another page here, page 241. He goes on to say, "Empathic listening is so powerful because it gives you accurate data to work with. Instead of projecting your own autobiography and assuming thoughts, feelings, motives, and interpretation, you're dealing with the reality inside another person's head and heart. You're listening to understand. You're focused on receiving the deep communication of another human soul." I like the way he puts that. I might add that empathic listening is motivated by a deep love, a deep care, and outgoing concern for other people. I'm going to go to page 254 and just read a short part here. He goes on to say here, "Our perceptions can be vastly different, and yet we both have lived with our paradigms for years, thinking they are the facts, and questioning the character or the mental competence of anyone who can't, quote unquote, see the facts. Now, with all our differences, we're trying to work together in a marriage, in a job, in a community service project to manage resources and accomplish results. So how do we do it? How do we transcend the limits of our individual perceptions so that we can deeply communicate, so that we can cooperatively deal with the issues and come up with win-win solutions?" And that's this habit. It's the first step in the process of win-win. Even if, and especially when, the other person is not coming from that paradigm, seek first to understand. So it's very important that we are carefully listening, and that we really genuinely seek to understand the other person. Much of our communication, though, a lot of it is what I say neutral communication. We're not trying to convince somebody of something, or we're not in an argument or anything like that. We're just living everyday life. So good habit number 4 is this. It has to do with this. When in doubt, communicate. In other words, don't let important things be left unsaid. And it includes what I call the 3 C's of careful communication. Be clear, be concise, and be complete. Have you ever called a business, made a phone call, and it rings and somebody answers and they say, "Thank you for calling. How are you?" And you think, Do I have the right place? So many times our communication is not clear because, as I said, we're in a hurry. It seems that so much of the time we're in a hurry, aren't we? Everything is rushed. So again, slow down, pause, speak loud enough, enunciating clearly what you need to say. One thing I need to work on is not being busy doing something and trying to talk to my wife when she's halfway across the house. You ever do that? That's something I'm really trying to work on. So, to be clear means to slow down. Don't be in a hurry. Pause. Be in communicating distance with the other person. And look them in the eye wherever possible. Look at them. And let the other person have a chance to digest what you're saying. Let's go to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Verse 27. And this has to do with the second C, being concise. Being concise. 17 and verse 27. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. So be concise, be direct, and say what needs to be said without a lot of extra words. Now, sometimes that's fine if you want to dialogue a lot, but generally be concise so the other person really understands clearly what you're saying. You know, Franklin D. Roosevelt once said, he said, be sincere, be brief, and be seated. I think of Jesus' example in his communication. He was a master at communication, and he was direct, concise, yet very loving. Let's go to John 8. John 8 and we'll start with verse 7. John 8, verse 7. Now, this has to do with the woman who was brought before Jesus, accused of adultery. And those who were accusing this woman before Jesus and trying to trap him, they saw that he didn't answer right away. He was writing something on the ground. It says in verse 6, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear them. Of course, he heard them. He was listening. So when they continued to ask him, he raised himself up and said to them, and I like the way this is so direct and just right to the point. He said, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And in verse 10, after they left one by one, in verse 10, Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. And I just like the way he's so direct with this. He said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? And then he presents a leading question. Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And here again, another very direct statement. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. In addition to being concise, let your communication also be complete, as I mentioned before. Be specific when you're speaking. Don't assume another person understands everything. And be sure, at the same time, that you don't leave anything important out. I know this is a challenge. Communication is something that we work on all our lives. Notice what Jesus said to his disciples in John 15. Let's go to John 15, chapter 15, and verse 15. Notice what Jesus said to his disciples. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I call you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. So he shared. He shared a lot. He shared everything with them. I would like to encourage us to further study this subject of communication and look at other points of effective communication. The Bible encourages us to speak the truth in love and let the law of kindness come from our lips. Good habits of effective communication are skills that constantly need to be practiced. And we can ask God for help, as it says in Psalm 19:14. It says, let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. So remember, how good is a timely word? It says that in Proverbs 15:23. And a man shall be satisfied with the good, with good by the fruit of his mouth, Proverbs 12:14. And of course, we all know this one. Proverbs 25, verse 1. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. So let's keep working on our communication. Continue to apply these four good habits. The first is get all the facts, hear the whole matter before responding. Number two, help yourself and help others by avoiding making wrong assumptions that lead to miscommunication and other problems. And third, seek to listen carefully and genuinely seek to understand the other person. We each have different autobiographies, remember, so we're coming from maybe a little different place. We share a lot in common, but we still have differences in our own background. And number four, when in doubt, communicate. Make sure everything important is said. Be specific and employ the three C's of careful communication. Be clear, be concise, and be complete. By practicing these good habits, we show, we express, and we demonstrate our love for one another.